For those that are new to us, you know, we believe that God speaks prophetically through people. And this morning, a couple of things that were shared were prophetic. And if I would embrace them and take them and ask the Holy Spirit what He wants you to do with them and how to move in them. Because this is the power of God at work. He speaks to us in many ways, and one of them is through people. Today, the kids are going to stay in service because we have a very special message time. But before we get into that, just want to invite you all to come back next Sunday. Next Sunday's Father's Day. We have a very special Father's Day. We're going to be talking about the Father's blessing. Fathers blessing their kids and the power that's in the Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit and the principles of God of that fatherly blessing and what it means. So I really want to encourage you to be here and share with us in that. But today is a real special day. As my wife mentioned earlier, we've had Lexi and Scott here since the middle of February serving as missionaries. For those that don't know, Scott's from Canada, but we let him in the country anyway. And Lexi's from Nashville, and we're stuck with her in the country. So just to update you, you know, we also had Levi here, and he had gone back home to Texas for some training at the home office of Pays. But some personal things came up with him. And being that it was only 3 weeks till they would have been home for the summer anyway, it was felt best that he would just stay home and take care of those personal things. So that's why Lexi and Scott are the only ones here right now. But we're excited about what God has done in their lives and through to this church through them. And they're going to share a little bit about that. And also, we're excited what God is setting up to be done. Because in the fall, when they return in August, they're going to be coming back with at least two, possibly three other missionaries who will be serving with them. So we're just so blessed to have God do the things that He is doing with them. So right now, I want to invite Scott to come on up and share.
Good morning. Just find my pages here. Okay, good morning. We are here as a part of the organization called Pays USA. To begin, I just wanted to kind of explain exactly what Pays is and what they do, and what Pays' vision is, so that you can kind of understand what it is we're really trying to do here. I know a lot of you sort of know, like, generally sort of why we're here, but I don't think everyone knows exactly what it is that Pays does. So to start off, Pays' motto is missionaries making missionaries. Which that means, so for example, we are missionaries. We're here. We're here to come alongside with the youth. We're here to minister to the youth. We're here to empower them, to inspire them to live lives with Christ. But what we do is we don't want to stop there. We want to empower them so that they not only know who Christ is and they're not just living that out in their own lives, but they're spreading that. They're sharing it with other people. They're sharing it with people around them. And the idea is that, I mean, we're here for a year and a half, and then eventually we'll leave. So the idea is that when we're gone, the youth that we've been ministering to are willing and they're equipped to train other people the same way we've been training them. So that's what Pays does. That's what makes Pays distinctive. And there's sort of three different ways we go about that. There's three distinctives that we talk about in Pays that we are trained in. The first is mission. And the way Pays approaches that is the little tagline for what we do when we're training is it's beyond attraction to application. So when we're going about mission, when we're doing some kind of outreach, we don't want to just try to attract the students to do it. We want to, you know, we want to inspire them to want to serve, that we want to do that, but we want to go beyond that and go with them and actually apply what they're learning with them, so that they feel more prepared to do that. So that's what we do with mission. You know, it's beyond the attraction of it to the actual application. The second thing we do is discipleship. And the way Pays sort of approaches discipleship is they try to go about it the same way Jesus did. The way when Jesus was here, he spent 3 years in his ministry with his disciples, walking with them, and so he taught them. He did sermons. He taught them what was true. He taught them what they needed to know. But he also went out with them. He took them with him when he went out to perform miracles. When he went out to serve other people, he took them with him, and he spent 3 years doing that. And so that when he was gone, when he went up to heaven, they were prepared to start the first church. So that's sort of the idea we want to go with. When we disciple our students, when we mentor our students, we want to teach them, and then we also want to take them with us to whatever we're doing. So if we're serving, if we're doing outreach, anything, we want to involve them as much as we can, so that they feel empowered, so that they feel prepared to do that. And the third thing is the third thing is study. And the way we do that is through Havram Devotions, which you, most of you, are familiar with because the church does this. But Havram Devotions are designed to go beyond just teaching a curriculum and creating a culture of studying together and learning together with people about the Bible, so that it's not something that what Havram does is it sort of makes people feel like they can learn the Bible themselves, that it's not like, you know, it's not too hard to understand. The point of Havram is it's friends studying together. Everyone's sort of learning together. It's not one person who has all the answers. We're all learning together. So that's the way we do all that. So that's Pays' sort of distinctives, and that's what we go for when we're here. That's Pays. So when I was thinking about what I wanted to share this morning, I wanted to share about what my experience has taught me. And it's taught me a lot of things, but the main thing I feel like I've learned about from being here, from doing what I'm doing, is about faith. I think we hear the word faith a lot. You know, faith is our belief in God, is our belief in Jesus' salvation, in our salvation from Jesus. It's our belief in that. But I think that's correct. But I think sometimes we don't use faith to the fullness of the word faith. We don't fully always talk about real faith. And I know that was something I didn't think about that before I left. But it's something I'm starting to see from being here. So about me, I'm from Canada. I got here in February. In January, I went down to Texas to train for this. And then before that, I lived in Canada. I was in university for classical piano. But while I was there, leading up to me coming here, I sort of felt that I was being called away from that I was being called to something different. I know being where I was, I sort of felt like I was there for myself, that God wasn't really what my focus was. And while I was there, I kind of felt unmotivated. Like I felt like there was more I needed to be doing, but I wasn't. So I began thinking like maybe I should drop out. But then I was like, maybe not. Maybe God wants me here. Maybe there's a reason I'm here, but maybe this isn't good for me. I don't feel motivated. I don't feel like I'm doing anything for God. But I mean, staying in school is a smart thing to do, but I feel like it's not the right place for me. And so finally I decided, yeah, I was going to drop out. So I left school and I didn't know what I was going to do. I just trusted that God was gonna catch me, that whatever happened, that he was gonna be there. And then a week later, A friend of mine who is part of PAYS right now, who is part of PAYS before me, came back to visit home, and she told me about this team that was starting here. It was going to be a creative arts team, and it just sounded like the perfect fit for me. And as soon as she said, told me about the opportunity, like I knew that this is what I was going to do, like this was the next step. And so I just kind of saw that example of stepping out in faith and then seeing God work through that. So I realized before I got here that I wasn't really living fully in faith. I believed in God and I wanted him to be my priority. I wanted him to be, you know, the focus of my life, but there were still things that I wasn't giving him. There were things that I was holding back. And I realized that I need to have true faith in his faithfulness. Like God is so faithful. And I think we know that because we always hear that God is faithful, but I don't think we take that to heart all the time. And I know I didn't take it to heart because there were things I wasn't trusting him with. There were places in my life where I wasn't being faithful, where it seemed like I didn't have much faith. And so I realized I had to be living more in a way that demonstrates his faithfulness by putting my faith in him, putting all my trust in him. Recently I found this passage in the Bible, which I thought was really, really powerful. It's Hebrews 11, so I'm just going to kind of read through this. I'm going to be kind of skipping ahead a lot, so you don't have to follow along, but I encourage you to look at it, read the whole thing. I think it's really powerful. It's Hebrews 11. So starting at verse 1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible." So what the author here is doing is he's going to sort of go back and look at people in the past, people from the beginning of time that demonstrated faithfulness. It says, "By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Later it says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children. And then he says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it was through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of Israel, of the Israelites from Egypt, and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. So all these people had incredible faith in God. They had incredible faith that what they were doing was right, that God was calling them to something, and they had faith that he was going to be there, that they were doing the right thing. Many of them suffered misfortune. They suffered anything you could imagine. They sacrificed everything. And like thinking about all that, like where would we be if they didn't do it? Where would we be if Noah hadn't built the ark, or if Moses hadn't led the Israelites to the promised land? But then it says here at the end, yet none of them received what had been promised. So what that's saying is all these people, these people all lived long before Jesus walked the earth, long before he did his ministry, before he lived his perfect life, before he sacrificed everything for our sins. So these people didn't know about salvation. These people didn't know that Jesus died for all of us. We have the knowledge that Jesus saved us, that we have salvation, that when our lives come to an end, we have eternal life with him. We go to heaven. But these people before didn't know that. All they knew was that their lives were going to be over and they'd return to dust, to the earth. Yet they still had faith. They still had faith that what it was that God was calling them to was bigger than them. I think that's what they understood. They understood that it wasn't about them, that what they were doing was much bigger than them, and that God was going to be faithful. Now we all have access to his spirit. We have his spirit living in us. So everyone has access to that. But back then, you know, God only bestowed his spirit to certain people, and those people had to have complete faith just to know that was what they needed to do, that whatever God was leading them to, like that's what they needed to do. And if they hadn't been faithful, like, you know, where would we be? When I think about everything they did, like it inspires me, the faith that they had to give up everything they had for something they didn't fully understand. And I think about us now, how we know that we're saved, that we know for sure that, you know, that we have eternal life with God, that this is all sort of going to pay off. All the work we're doing, everything we do for God is going to pay off because we know he's faithful. And so thinking about like how much more faithful should we be, knowing that God is there with us all the time, that every step of the way he's there. And so that's just been in my heart, and I've been learning coming here what it means to actually step out in faith, and I've seen what happens when you step out in faith and when you let God, you know, catch you. And another thing I've learned is that it's not easy, obviously. You know, it's hard to sacrifice things. It's hard to put faith into something that you can't always see, and you might be unsure about it, and it's just hard to put your faith in that. But I would just encourage anyone who believes, who knows who Jesus is, who's felt his spirit in you, I just encourage you to be faithful, to take steps to be as faithful as you can be. I know even now, obviously I'm not perfect, and there are times now that I am not completely faithful. But I realize now what it means to be faithful, and I realize what I need to do in order to, you know, in order to get there. So yeah, I would just encourage everyone to, you know, really think about that. Like think about how faithful you are and how faithful you could be, and think about what God could do in your lives and in the lives around you if you just were faithful, if you're obedient. So yeah, in a moment, Lexi's going to come and share what she wants to share. But yeah, I just wanted to leave you with that, because that's something that I've learned, and I the experience I've had here and that lesson I've learned is incredibly valuable, and I just want everyone to know, you know, what it is I'm learning. So, yeah.
Hey guys, will you hold this for? Thanks. Hello, everybody. So I kind of want to go over what I've learned in the past 6 months since being here. Just kind of the same that Scott did, but before I do that, I want to give you just some background, I guess, on how I got here to Hazlitt, New Jersey. So about October of last year, I was living in Nashville. So I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and I was living with my family, and I was working at a bakery. Me and my two best friends were working there, and it was really fun. And basically, my life was, I was content with it. I was kind of good where I was. Like, I had my job. I liked my job. I liked where I was living. I just, I liked what was happening. And I felt like God was saying, you know, you can stay here, and you can take this, and you can be content, and this is going to be okay, and I can honor that, but I want to take you into a place where I'm going to grow you, and it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it, and I'm going to equip you for your future. And so one night when I was kind of thinking through this, I sat down and I was writing in my journal, and I felt like the Lord was asking me, what do I want? Because we all know that he always takes care of our needs, but I think a lot of the times we forget he also cares about what we want. Like, he puts those desires in our heart, and he wants to honor that. And so I sat down, and the specific things that I wrote in my journal were, let me see. I wanted to be prepared and equipped for my future, and I said that I wanted to live in New York, because New York is something that's always been on my heart ever since I was little, before I had ever been there. I couldn't have told you why, but I always was just like, I'm going to go there one day, and I'm going to live in Manhattan, and stuff's going to happen, and I don't know what it is, but it's going to happen. And so I wrote in my journal that I wanted to be prepared and equipped, and I wanted to live in New York. And so I kind of forgot about this, let it go. And a month later, I was in the car with my parents. We were on a road trip, and we were coming home. And my mom mentioned to me one of my friends from high school that I knew. She was in England, and she was doing this thing called PAYS, and she was a missionary, and it was really cool, and blah, 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 blah. And I literally was like, Mom, I'm not going to be a missionary. Like, that's a little much. To me, there was like Christian, and then there was like missionary, and like I just wasn't there yet. I was just like, it was just a whole nother level. And I was like, Mom, I'm not going to be a missionary. And I mean, I am now, so you can probably guess where that conversation went. So I was like, you know, I'm not qualified for that. Like, I can't do that. And I soon realized that God calls the unqualified, and he makes them qualified. And he uses our weakness to showcase his strength. And I don't think I really realized that until that moment. And there's actually a verse that I want to read. I think there should be a slide of it. Is it the next one? Yeah. Okay, so it's 1 Corinthians 1, 25 through 29. And it says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. So he called me to be a missionary. And I said, I can't do that. And he said, okay, well, here, let me show you that you can. You're just going to have to lean on me for this. So long story short, I decided, okay, so I'm going to do this. I emailed Pays. They emailed me back in 2 seconds saying, we have a base in New York that's opening. Can you be on it? And I was like, okay, Lord, this is it. I'm going. So one of the things that I want to talk about, there's two main things that I kind of want to talk about what I've learned over the past 6 months. And this kind of being the first thing is the whole idea of expectations and reality. So kind of what you're expecting God to do for you and what you ask him to do, and then the reality of what it actually looks like. So you know how like in movies or in pictures it'll have like expectations and then like reality? Okay, so visualize this for a second. My expectation coming here was like New York City. I'm just like walking along the streets. I'm healing people. Jesus is showing up. Like revival is happening. Things are happening and it's just a big deal. And then we move over to reality and I get here. I'm not in New York. I'm in New Jersey. I can see New York, but I'm not there. I live with a bunch of crazy Italians, 5 dogs who never are quiet. And that's just what it is. And I realized very quickly that when I got here, I could have looked at the situation and said, I asked God for this, and he almost gave it to me because he almost cared. And I could have kind of sat in that for a second and just been like, he doesn't want to give me what I completely want because he just doesn't want to. Like, he's just almost going to give me what I want. And I soon realized that when you ask for something and he doesn't completely give it to you, but he kind of gives like a taste of it to you, it's not because he's not planning on giving it to you. It's because he's preparing you for the full blessing. And now that I'm here and I've been through the past 6 months, I'm realizing that if he would have given me exactly what I wanted, exactly when I said that I wanted it, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. The blessing would have killed me, in other words. It really would have. I would have gone home. I wouldn't have been able to handle it. But out of his faithfulness and his grace, he gave me something that I could handle. And he said, take this and then I will give you more. Because I'm still believing that what I want is going to happen because he put that desire inside of me, but I have to stay faithful with the small stuff before I can get to that. So that's kind of, I guess, the first thing that I learned once I was here. And then the next thing that I want to talk about are just like pivotal points, I guess, when the Lord has called you into a new season of life. And I'm sure that there's a lot more than two, but to me, I've kind of experienced these two. And the first one being saying yes. So when God calls you to a season that's new, you haven't really experienced, the first step is literally just stepping out and being a willing vessel and just believing in him and saying yes, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it is, believing that he's going to follow through. And there's a quote that there should be one on this slide by Neil Maxwell. It says, God does not begin by asking us about our ability, but only about our availability. And if we then prove our dependability, he will increase our capability. So I know that's kind of a mouthful. But that kind of goes along with this first thing that I learned, that just stepping out and believing that he's going to take care of the rest no matter what your ability looks like, no matter if you're qualified for the job or not. And so that's kind of like the first thing I learned. And this, I thought that that was it. So if there were two pivotal points for me in God calling me into a new season, that was the first, was just saying yes, being willing. And I thought that that was enough. I honestly did. I thought that as long as I was willing to step out and just say yes, that would be enough. And soon realized there's more to it than that. And so the last thing that I kind of want to talk about is the second point when God calls you to a new season. And that's the point where you have to choose to honor your yes, and you have to choose to fight. And no matter what it looks like, no matter if it gets rocky or bumpy, you have to choose to look back and say that I said yes here, and I was faithful here, and I believed him here, and I still have to believe him here. Because a lot of the times I think that, I shouldn't say we, I'll say I. A lot of the times I look at situations with my natural eye, and so I bring God down to a human level because I'm only looking at it from my level. And so I bring his ability down when really his ability is much higher than mine. So I think sometimes we have to step back from the situation, and no matter what it looks like, we have to honor that yes that we said in the beginning, because the simple truth is he is a good God, and he will pull through. He will do it. He will do exactly what he said that he is going to do. And I think that we lose faith sometime in that that somewhere along the way he forgot, or he stopped thinking that he was going to finish what he started. But he is a God that finishes what he started. And so my yes, that honoring my yes, like, that was my fight. Like, that was what I had to fight for, was looking back and saying, you know what, it doesn't matter what it looks like, I'm still here and I'm still going. And, you know, sometimes I get up in the morning and it's the fact that I'm here, and I don't say yes to God, but I say okay. And I think sometimes we have to give ourselves grace for that, because, you know, God is just looking for our willingness. And, you know, we don't have to get up in the morning and be excited and say, yes, Lord, like, that's awesome. But if all you have in you for that day is to say, okay, like, I'm here, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm here and I'm not going to quit, like, that is so much greater to him than faking being excited about something that you're not really excited about. So, Pastor Mike, if you want to come up here and kind of close us out in prayer, I really just have one more question that I would like to leave you with, and that's kind of like, what does the fight look like for you? Like, what are you experiencing? Like, what is the season that you're going through right now that you have to choose to stay in the fight? Because sometimes the fight means getting on your knees. It doesn't really look like fighting at all. It just looks like praying and like accepting that you can't do it on your own. Maybe the fight is a marriage that is crumbling and you have to choose to fight for it. It might be a job, it might be any situation in life that God has called you to, and you said yes to it at one point, and then it got a little rocky, and now you're questioning that yes. So I just wanna ask you, like, what that fight is for you, and to be willing to let God speak to that fight, like, be willing to hope again, and be willing to remember that he is a good God and he always finishes what he starts, no matter what. And that is all.
Thank you. It's been such an amazing blessing having the whole team, but especially Lexi and Scott. What you guys are not aware of, you know, Scott talked about faith and the faithfulness of God. The Scott that you've been seeing up here the last five months is not the Scott that came to New Jersey. When he was asked to lead worship, that's the first time he ever sang in public. But today was the first time he's ever spoken public like this, even when he shared the announcements. So he's been stepping up, doing things, and he doesn't show a lot of emotion when he's asked, so he's always kind of straight-faced. But I'm sure he's been like, oh my God, what the heck am I doing? But he stepped out in faith and he trusted. And look, he's not the same person that's going to be going home for summer break that he came. And it's been amazing to see the growth in him over the last 5 or 6 months. And they've been doing an amazing job. And one of the things that I've come to respect about him, you know, the youth have been having their Bible studies at 4:30 in the church office. And I've been there in the church office. And even when no other youth shows up, or one other person maybe, Scott was there studying his Bible and preparing. So he was true to his faithfulness, to his yes to God in the things. And Lexi, you know, when we first met with the team in February and we asked them, you know, what brought you here? Why are you here? What is your vision? Her words to us was, I have no idea why I'm here. I'm just supposed to be here. Right now, she's the team leader, and she's going to be leading the team that's coming in August. That's why she's here. She didn't, just like she said, she may not have seen the big picture, the fullness of what God has for her, but he gave her what she can handle. And she's blown us away at her leadership ability already that we're seeing and the visions that God is just downpouring in her. So it's been amazing to see what God is doing in their lives. And it just makes me so much more excited for August to get here, even though they still have two more weeks. But they'll be flying back to their homes on the 27th. So they're here for two more Sundays. But I can't wait till they come back in August with the full team and just re-energize us all over again. And we're praising God for that. So thank you, guys. And you know what? Before we kind of pray together, I want you guys to come on back up. We want to pray over you. Tiffany, if you can come on up, and Maureen and Bobby, if you guys want to come on up as host parents as well. Just want to bless you guys and just say thank you, man. You guys have been such an amazing blessing to what you've done, galvanizing the youth and the young people in this church, and so much more that most of us don't even see behind the scenes. So, Lord, we just give you the glory for them. We just thank you, God, for what you are doing in their lives, that they've taken steps. They've let their yes be yes, and their commitment to that yes, Father, even when they weren't sure why they're saying yes. Lord God, even when it didn't look like things were working out, they stay true to what you've called them to their word that they made to you, the promise they made to you today. So, Lord, we thank you, God, and we ask that you bless them and that, Lord, as they take in a couple of weeks, go home for the summer, that you use the time to refresh them with new vision, new revelation, new talents, new abilities, new skills, Lord God, new people, Lord, that when they return will be ready for them here, God. That, Lord, there's so much more that's yet to come, and we just bless them with that, and we just thank you for them, Lord. And just surround them with your love, Father. And thank you that they've been part of our family and will continue to be. We just give you the glory. And for some reason, Bobby, I feel like you need to bless them as the father in the home that they've been staying in. Here you go. Yeah. That as priest of that home.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, Father, that just by their acts of faith, Lord, we've all grown to know your love, Father. So we just ask, Lord, as they go forward, that you will bless them, you will bless the path that they're on, Father, that you will give them the strength in the time of their need, Lord, that you will not delay in Jesus' name, that you will give them the strength to overcome when they feel they have none, Father. We pray, Lord, that they will have a renewing of their faith to a different level, Father, that they could not have ever imagined, Lord, that they will be blessed abundantly for the work that they're doing to help build your kingdom, Father, and that they will come back knowing that their path is true and they're straight and it's for your will, Father, and to complete the destiny that you've called them in their life, Father, that they will do great things in your name. So we praise you, Lord, for the work that they're doing and the work they're going to do, and we just give you the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, guys. We love you. We just bless you. So Wednesday night, we invite you all to come to Mark and Madeline's house. Bring something to share. Church is going to provide hot dogs and condiments and stuff. We're just going to have a time of fellowship, worship, prayer, just saying thank you and honoring them for their hard effort. But right now, if you would stand with me, and for those that are new, one of the things that we do, we believe in the priesthood of the believers. We believe in people equipping one another and encouraging one another. It's not all on the pastors. So we like to break up into groups of threes and fours and pray for each other as we close. Just encouraging each other. And today we want to pray for specifically the yes, because many of us have said yes to things and are having a difficult time with that. Think about staying true to that. You know, the example that Lexi and Scott showed us, that's from God. This is a testimony unto God. So some of us have struggled with that. Some of us need to say yes to something God's been calling us to do, and we haven't said yes yet. We've been avoiding it or saying no. So